Chapter 8. The Pure Ones. Broadway Avenue ran from east to west, and Industrial Boulevard ran north to south. Just blocks before the intersection, Anastasia noticed a group of rowdy teenagers walking down the uninhabited street. Just like Lambert said, abandoned buildings with boarded windows and empty parking lots surrounded the area. A used truck shop sat vacant on the corner. A vibrant neon sign that read, "Used Trucks Sold Here," illuminated the street corner in sporadic light. The smooth spring breeze brushed against Anastasia's arms, slightly lifting her dark hair back and forth. In the distance, she heard the sound of cars cruising down the freeway and a train blowing its stacks. The noise proved to be a slight distraction, but she concentrated on the shadowy figures on the opposite side of the street, headed in her direction. The group of teens crossed the street, unaware of Anastasia's presence. She didn't try to hide it. They weren't on her "things to kill tonight" list. Instead, she stepped on a broken piece of the glass, and it shattered underneath her feet. Two males and a female quickly glanced up at her and slowed their pace. Anastasia stared straight ahead. Their strong scents, mixed with an odor of marijuana and beer, were seeping from their pores. One of them, the taller male with dyed red hair, inhaled his cigarette. His tenacious scent intrigued Anastasia. For once in a long time, she actually thought about interrupting her mission with a late-night snack, but she quickly remembered her promise to herself. She wasn't going to kill any more innocents unless they gave her a reason to. The teen tilted his head back and blew the smoke smoothly from his lips. "Hey." His tongue glazed over his bottom lip. His eyes scanned her from head to toe. It was her black jeans and her tight-fitted shirt that caught his attention. "What's up, shorty?" "Shorty." Slang speech racked her nerves. The teenagers of this century, especially this decade, lived unhealthy lives. They filled their minds with thoughts of sex, money, and power. The human teen lusted after her. She didn't think of herself as attractive, even during her human years. Those days and those memories blurred together thanks to her long existence. Yet she remembered small, fractured details of her human family and the night she found herself in the unsteadied world of the Demon. Anastasia turned her attention back to the task at hand. She didn't respond to the teen. She continued forward, staring at the houses ahead. Nowhere did she see an old truck gas station, and nowhere did she see a brick building that Lambert spoke about. "If you're going to the party, it's too late," the shorter teen said. Anastasia stopped quickly and looked over her right shoulder. The female leaned on the other chubby male for support. She sensed her intoxicated state. "Some chick came in and busted it. Told us to go." The tall teen inhaled again. "They threw everyone out. They even told us to take the kegs. What the fuck is that shit?" "Where?" she asked sternly, knowing they could have been talking about the place she searched for. "Around the corner," the shorter teen answered. "No reason to go now. The party's a waste." A waste for them could turn into a godsend for her. The location they referred to could be the exact location of where she needed to go. The short male gripped the female by the waist, and she pushed him away. She curled her lips as if he had somehow disgusted her by his forceful grip. He ignored her gesture and played it off by repositioning his stance. He stood up straight with his shoulders back and chest protruding. His thoughts ran freely, making it extremely easy for Anastasia to pick up on. The youngest of these delinquents posed as the tough one of the bunch, even though he lacked the courage to take risks. He feared treading in dark places. He slept with his lights on, and he always exaggerated the truth when he told his friends about his fake run-ins with the police. He feared pain and strong women. He pictured Anastasia with him in the back seat of his two-door shit of a vehicle, with her head immersed in his crotch. She continued forward, and she turned the corner. The darkness of the street fooled her vision for a short moment, making distance seem farther than normal. She crossed a defunct railroad track, sunken deep into the asphalt of the street. She finally saw the old gas station and the boarded-up brick building surrounded by a chain-link fence. Her eyes picked up on a gaping hole, large enough for an adult to fit through near its edge. She crouched and walked through it. She looked up, seeing a large, rusted water tower positioned on the roof. She stepped over shards of broken bottles and large pieces of wood. An abandoned Ford truck sat motionless with all four wheels completely deflated and its doors' windows completely shattered. A female's raucous laughter travelled in the air. Anastasia quietly lowered herself behind the front of the truck, watching another group of teens walk through the hole in the chain-link fence and down the street. When the scent of humans dissipated, she continued forward, keeping her eyes and ears open. She didn't know what to expect. The large building was unlike any sanctuary she ever visited in Minneapolis. She didn't understand why Celine would come here. Maybe she still hunted Kai, and she was the woman the teen spoke about earlier. She looked up at the only window on the third floor that wasn't boarded. The light flickered. Possibly a candle and a shadow moved across the wall. Someone was still there. A loose board that creaked as it swung back and forth in the wind covered the entrance to the building. She walked in, stepping on a dirty blanket. The smell of rotten wood mixed with ammonia from dog urine swirled in her nostrils. The walls were stained yellow and black from years of accumulated dust and filth. While Anastasia kept her hearing sharp, the smell she now encountered became commingled. The distinct smells of demon, especially Metuspa, Lamia, and Lugat, were apparent. However, the smell of any Ramanga, besides herself, didn't exist. She walked up the stairs and slid her hand up the railing, reaching the third floor. The tiny sharp ends of her fangs rested on her lower lip, and her eyes slowly filled with the darkness that made her Ramanga. Her body became rigid. If she was going to move, she needed to move now. In demon speed, she jumped forward, spanning a non-human distance. She landed silently in a crouched position, with her nails gripping the boards in the floor. Her skin tingled to the slight touch of air around her. Her mind became blank, and she became alert, ready for the kill. It didn't matter if her life ended that moment. The lure of virulent behavior that made her Ramanga now consumed her. Anastasia leapt again and landed next to the door. She leaned her body against the wall and she sniffed the thick air. The smell changed, but she knew the intrusive scent. She stepped into the doorway, staring into Saline's cold and dark eyes. Her appearance in the dank small room stiffened Anastasia's posture. Saline, now second most ancient demon in the city, the woman that Anastasia helped last winter to push Kai on the run, the woman who knew her own maker, acted unhinged by Anastasia's surprised appearance. Her bright, carrot-coloured hair that always sparkled when Anastasia saw her now looked darker in the flickering candlelight. The smile she flashed at Anastasia was cold as ice. She flipped back the few strands of hair from her shoulder to her back, and she licked her reddish lips. Her human minion, Jessica, stood close to Celine. Surprised that she hadn't picked up on Jessica's scent before, Anastasia came to the conclusion that Celine had somehow masked it. Anastasia sensed nothing from her, not even a thought. But in her attempt to conceal her thoughts, Anastasia sensed the minion's fear. "Anastasia," Celine welcomed in a monotone voice. She tucked her hair underneath her loose black jacket that she wore. She wore a black dress that fell just above her knees with knee-high boots. The candlelight flickered just enough to reveal the squalid conditions of the room. An old torn mattress was propped up in the corner. Garbage was strewn about the room. An old desk leaned against the wall, supported only by three legs. Anastasia relaxed, allowing her body to revert to normal. The tension between them would never change, neither would the way they greeted each other. Parting after meeting usually ended up with Anastasia in wretched pain and close to death. As with many older demon, it didn't matter what clan they belonged to. Celine was older, thus harder to kill. Her age protected her. Anastasia knew she could never kill Celine, but the thought of testing Celine's strength tickled her Ramanga instincts. The dictum forbids the killing of their own kind unless ordered. Technically, Celine could call for her death, like she did Kai, but Anastasia knew her secretive side all too well. Like her, she worshipped her sire, Lucius, and he treated Anastasia like his own daughter. If Celine killed her, Lucius would end Celine's existence. Only Lucius strongly believed in following the rules of the dictum. Anastasia remembered a time when he strongly believed in keeping the demon out of the spotlight. Let the vampires expose themselves to their heart's desire. When the time came to shine in the spotlight, the demon would be ready. But now he chased after Kai like a rabid dog, seeking his revenge because of his stint in limbo, and he hid secrets from Anastasia. Celine motioned to Jessica to kick over the mattress in the corner. Without hesitation, Jessica removed the mattress, revealing a pile of trash and dirt. "When did you get back to Minneapolis?" Anastasia asked. "A few weeks ago," Celine replied. "You found Kai? That's none of your business." Celine lifted her nose in the air. "It is my business. What do you want with the Brotherhood?" Her abrupt question made Celine immediately turn and stare at her. "I know you went there." "Again, that's none of your business." Another scent drifted in the air, making Anastasia stop speaking in mid-sentence. She looked across the room, to a doorway leading to another room not yet explored. Like Celine's scent, she knew this one very well, and this time she welcomed it. Lucius walked into the room, and he stopped as their eyes met. Months had passed since she laid eyes on him. Then he looked vastly different, covered in blood from the demon he killed during Kai's gathering. She remembered his look being tarred and ratted. His brown hair was cut short. He wore a white and grey-coloured shirt with tight-fitting blue jeans and black shoes, reflecting the modern times. After being released from limbo, he disappeared for a few weeks, only to reappear at the gathering. When she asked him about limbo, he refused to answer. Instead, he was more concerned with helping Veronica find out what happened to her mother, who was his former lover. He motioned for her to approach him, and Anastasia stepped forward. A feeling of relaxation and undying loyalty engulfed every fibre of her being. While being in his presence, she felt the bond between a sire and their offspring, even though he wasn't her maker. His sister, Lucia, would always be her sire regardless if their bond was broken centuries ago. As she had lain in the metal coffin her sire had placed her in, it was Lucius who rescued her warped body 100 years later and took her under his wing. He taught her what it was to be a demon, the bad and the good, and he helped her rid her mind of any thoughts pertaining to her own sire. So when she found out that he went missing, Anastasia travelled to Minneapolis in search for him. At first, she thought Nathan was responsible, and Anastasia killed anyone in her way without a thought. She made it her goal to learn about Lucius's every move in the city before he disappeared. When Celine finally arrived and placed protection on Veronica because of Lucius, Anastasia followed the order without question. She loved him with her dishevelled heart, and she would die for him. Anastasia slowly kneeled in front of him, and she lowered her head. "You look well." He placed his hand underneath her chin and lifted her head. "Stand up, Aurelia." He was also the only one she'd allowed to call her by her human birth name. She stood to her feet. "Why didn't you tell me you were back in the city?" He gently rubbed the side of her face, and he looked at her for a few moments before speaking again. "I was going to call on you when I felt that you were ready." "Ready?" Anastasia stepped back from him. She watched him walk towards Celine. Confused by his actions, Anastasia shot Lucius and Celine a bewildered stare. "What's going on? You aren't telling me something." Lucius stood still. "A deal must be made with the Brotherhood to secure the future of our kind." "Deal?" Anastasia couldn't believe her ears. "Did you forget about the last deal they made with Kai? You ended up in limbo." "He hasn't forgotten," Celine said. Anastasia pointed to her. I'm not talking to you. Lucius raised his hand, ceasing the rising tension in the room. You'll understand in time, but for now, you must stop this bickering. You've been lying to me. It's not important, not now. Anastasia folded her arms across her chest. It wasn't like Lucius to give up on a chase so easily. Celine turned to Lucius. She isn't ready to know. Yes, she is. Lucius nodded. Aurelia, he looked at her. Kai's scent still lingers throughout the air in this city. Anastasia stood still. No demon was strong enough to differentiate all the scents of their kind in a city as big as Minneapolis, including Lucius. Answering Anastasia's thoughts, Lucius spoke. I am more powerful now. His reply startled her. How did he do that? Yes, she questioned Lucius in her thoughts, and she hid them very well. She was good at it. How did he read them without her feeling him penetrate her mind? He looked to Celine and nodded. Tell her. Celine opened her mouth and hesitated, but with Lucius' continued glare, she nodded in affirmation, and she faced Anastasia. Do you know the origins of our species? Before Anastasia could reply, Celine interjected. Of course you don't. I don't think your sire knew or cared. It was a time when vampires ravaged ancient cities, robbing babies from the arms of their human mothers. They devastated small towns, killing any human they could find. They found their way to Sumer, and desperate, the humans prayed to their pantheon of gods for answers, for hope. But their prayers went unanswered. Anastasia heard small stories here and there about demon origins, but she considered them nothing more than fables, created to give demon a sense of purpose. She remained quiet while Celine continued. But one night, the vampires killed the wrong human, the son of the town's Kashapu, a priest of magic and worshipper of the Iara. Very powerful and ancient magic, Lucius added. The Kashapu called out to the Iara and they listened. They gifted this human the ability to use dark magic, and in doing so, he created the very first demon in human form. The dark magic needed human hosts, so four humans were chosen, thus creating the very first Ramanga, Lamia, Mitospa, and Lugat. The very first, the pure ones, had none of the weaknesses we have today, Lucius said. They walked in the sun, they could not be killed. They were truly immortal and served their human makers. But soon, they began to kill the ones they were created to protect, Celine said. Desperate, the Kashapu wanted to reverse the horrors. He called out to the Iara. Four more humans were chosen. Thus, the Adzi, Ekimu, Empusa, and the Estri Demon were created, with the goal to battle the first four Demon and the vampires. Why are you telling me this? Anastasia asked. Ignoring Anastasia's question, Celine continued. And like the first four created, they also turned on the humans. The human king had enough of this Kashapu and his dark magic. He was ordered to get rid of them. At first, he tried cursing them with weaknesses akin to vampires. Light and wood. When that didn't work, the Kashapu used the same magic to create an astral plane, void of time, to hold these eight demon. We call this place Limbo. He also created amulets for protection against them. Celine's green eyes glowed in the flickering candlelight. By then, the pure ones learned how to create more, and these offspring managed to escape out into the world. Anastasia took the story with a grain of salt. She didn't believe in deities, so the story made little sense to her, and she didn't understand why they believed it. She started to feel Celine probing her mind, looking deep for answers, and she didn't try to hide them. Whatever she was looking for, Anastasia knew she'd eventually find it. But something didn't feel right. Celine managed to enter her thoughts easily, making Anastasia rethink her decision to give them full access to her mind. Now she pushed back, trying to force Celine out. The harder she tried, the more her brain began to burn. She closed her eyes and looked away. Somehow Celine was too strong for her to block, or maybe she was too weak to defend. Celine pointed to Jessica and ordered her to leave the room. In a hurry, she walked past Anastasia, glancing up at her only once before exiting. She looked to Lucius. She hasn't been feeding. She isn't any use to us. Any use? For what? Recovered from Celine's onslaught, Anastasia walked around the room, taking in the plethora of smells. She spread her hand along the wall, feeling the slimy texture of dirt on her fingertips. She needs her, Celine. I need her. Yes, just like we need that researcher you want me to constantly flirt with, she replied. Soon, you won't have to. She can't function on a diet of animal blood alone, she looked to Anastasia. Don't question our orders. Lucius's voice raised and Celine backed off. Their interaction proved mysterious, and Anastasia moved away from them, not knowing what to expect. If what you told me is true, then the pure ones are still alive in limbo. The thought drew Anastasia back to the cave where both she and Celine had gone to free Lucius. While there, Celine had made some deal with Amenirdis, queen of limbo, and a pure one in her own right.
They want out, Anastasia, Lucius said. They want to be freed.
You're going to free them. Anastasia eyed him suspiciously. How are you going to do that? Before the king had the Kash Shapu executed, the Kash Shapu wrote down the spells used to create our species on a clay tablet. He also instilled the magic in his descendants so that in the future they would be the key to unlocking the spells used in his rituals. After his death, the tablet disappeared from history, only to appear 1,000 years later. It was broken into 2 pieces to make sure that the magic would never be practiced again. Celine's thin lips slowly curled into a conspicuous smile. Anastasia wanted to know what stirred inside their minds. Sure, she could probe. But the risk seemed too great when in comparison to Lucius's power alone and what he could do to her if she tried. Instead, she decided to flesh out the information from them the old-fashioned way, by talking.
So, I guess you want me to get on my hands and knees and thank the pure ones for my existence.
Anastasia's snotty remark quickly dissipated the smile on Celine's face. Lucius approached Anastasia. When the time comes, you will have no other choice. I don't bow down to anyone. Celine huffed, and again her lips curled into a snicker. You bow down to Lucius. She turned to Celine.
Yes, because he deserves it. He has my respect. The pure ones don't.
Anastasia. Lucius approached her. Choose your next words carefully. A moment of silence overcame their conversation. She knew he meant business when he started to call her by her demon name. Anastasia watched Celine's eyes focus in and out as she stared back into hers, while her mind still rattled on why Lucius acted so differently. The time I spent in limbo, I spent as servant to the pure ones. His face drooped in discontent. They showed and taught me so much. What could they have taught you that you don't already know? We are a dying species and we need to be saved, he replied. Only they can save us from what is coming. Just then, Anastasia saw Lucius' eyes change from brown to dark red. Amazed, she broke their stare and stepped back from him. Something wasn't right.
Your eyes! What's wrong with them?
I was given power to help free them.
Power?
What kind of power? She knew the answer to her own question, but she couldn't believe it. They will turn on all of us. You can't trust them. Anastasia placed her hand on his shoulder. Celine tilted her head back and exploded into laughter.
I told you, Lucius, she wouldn't understand, not like I have.
No, it's just that I'm not easily manipulated, Anastasia replied. The only thing I felt when I walked in that cave to free you was pure evil. Nothing more. The pure ones were placed in limbo for a good reason. Celine rushed toward Anastasia in demon speed and pushed her up against the wall. Anastasia gripped onto Celine's neck, but in a quick movement, Celine grabbed Anastasia's wrist and yanked her arm away. She then placed her elbow on Anastasia's throat, and she pushed. The pressure ached at her trachea.
and Anastasia, with her Ramanga teeth fully exposed, snapped at Celine. Celine placed her hands on Anastasia's face. Her touch converted from ice cold to burning hot as she began to feed. Anastasia felt her body becoming weak while she still struggled unsuccessfully to free herself from Celine. She knew that Demon couldn't feed off Demon without killing themselves in the process, so she expected Celine's attack to cease. Instead, Celine continued, and now frightened, Anastasia grabbed Celine's wrists and she dug deep into her skin, but Celine only increased her grip and pressure. She was also stronger than normal. Anastasia looked to Lucius for help, but he remained still, watching the spectacle unfold. She felt her legs wobbling underneath her. Her body became heavy and her mind distorted. She felt her skin beginning to tighten, then wrinkle. The blood flowing in her veins began to dissipate, and as she began to lose consciousness, her arms fell loosely to her sides. Lucius finally spoke.
Celine! That's enough.
Celine released her, allowing Anastasia's weakened body to slide against the wall and to the ground.
This isn't part of their plan.
His voice turned into a whisper. Anastasia, do not stand against us. Do not do what Sylvanus did. Anastasia grinded her teeth in pain. Since when could Celine feed from Demon? It was just another question to add to her already long list of what-the-fuck moments. Did you do something to him? She forced her eyes to glance up at his face. Do you know where Sylvanus is?
He's dead,
Lucius said in a sorrowed voice. If it makes you feel better, his death was quick.
Not quick enough. Celine casually walked out of the room. With widened eyes, Anastasia rubbed her throat. It doesn't make me feel any better.
She couldn't believe the news. She didn't want to believe it. She never saw eye to eye with Sylvanus. Throughout the centuries, he had always proven to her that she was nothing more than a demon who shared the same lineage with him. He viewed her as a bastard child, a demon who had to be watched and kept under control. He flexed his age and power over her, and he threatened her life numerous times, but never had the balls to act through on them. She didn't miss his passing, but for Lucius to kill him, it made no sense. You come from a long lineage of feared Ramanga. Lucius moved in and crouched to Anastasia's level. Consider this moment to be special. There isn't anything special about this moment. He placed his finger over her mouth to hush her. The Pure Ones have chosen you like they have chosen me. He removed his finger and stood up. You have the chance to stand alongside them. He lifted her to her feet and leaned her up against the wall. And what about Veronica? Anastasia asked. You've forgotten about her. I haven't. But she's human. Just like her mother. I was wrong to fall in love with her. It blinded me. Made me forget my true purpose in the city. And what is your true purpose, Lucius? Even I don't know. I've already told you. To save Demon from what's coming. Anastasia opened her mouth to respond but found her voice silent. Amenirdis, the Dark Mother, has instilled in me great power that you could never imagine. She has opened my eyes and I have opened Celine's. I want to share this gift with you as well. Anastasia stared back into his eyes, knowing that whatever she tried to do from that point on, she couldn't hide her intentions from Lucius. He knew enough about her past, which included Sylvanus and the Dark Curse. He knew how she once helped Sylvanus secure one of the descendants of this so-called Kashshapu, but then sired her into a Ramanga to save her own skin. However, she thought the problem had been solved decades ago. The descendant was no longer deemed important, which meant that Lucius was after the other demon, Kira. Taste me and heal yourself. He held his wrist up to her mouth. She slightly turned her head away. You know I can't. Yes, you can, and you will. She hesitated, but she knew in her state she couldn't deny his request. Her fangs slowly dropped and she bit into his wrist. His cold blood streamed down her throat, and immediately she felt her body beginning to heal. It didn't reject his blood. In fact, her body craved it. Power swam through her entire body. The age his blood carried felt stronger than any blood she had ever consumed in her life. She wanted more and she sucked harder, taking in as much of the ambrosia until he forcefully pulled his wrist away. What just happened? Fully regenerated, she stepped back and her fangs retracted. Why was I able to feed from you? She wiped her mouth with the back of her hand. Her body wanted more, and she rushed at him. It's their gift to us. He held out his hand, stopping her from coming any closer. My blood is mixed with blood of a pure one. The blood continued to progress through her veins. Her senses heightened to a level she'd never felt before. No human or demon blood ever did that. It just didn't seem possible. Place your differences with Celine aside. We must pull together. We must start acting like a family once more. He dropped his hand. The blood felt too damn good. She couldn't deny it. But what he asked of her, what he planned to do, and his strong belief in the pure ones. That wasn't anything she could just overlook. I have walked this road before in my past, Lucius. It never ends well. Yes, but things are different. He placed his arms around her and he brought her in close to his chest. I trust you and Celine. With you both by my side, this can be done. And Kai? What about Kai? She increased her grip around Lucius. She knew no matter what the cost, no matter what it was, she would follow him blindly. Plus, she didn't have any other choice unless she wanted to see Lucius and Celine kill Nathan and the others at Blind Bluff Manor. For now, she had to play it safe and show her obedience toward him as a sign of good faith. And his blood. She wanted more. We have one piece of the Dark Curse tablet, and the Brotherhood has the other. He increased his embrace. Kira, Nathan's old friend, is the key to unlocking it. We must find her at all costs. Anastasia nodded. Now you must start feeding again to be strong. He smiled. You're no good to us if you aren't at your full strength.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/Isayan Morrison.